I don't know if your experience is like me, but I know that for years I heard gospel presentations where the presenter said we need to ask forgiveness for our sins in order to be eternally saved. But is that right? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. This question comes from a listener just like you. And by the way, you might have questions of your own. If you do, you can send us an email at radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's jump right into the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions, which you can send to radio@faithalone.org. Here's a question from Donna. Donna says, so if a person believes in Jesus and believes that you have to ask him to forgive your sins for eternal salvation, but doesn't understand asking for forgiveness is a form of work, does that person have eternal salvation?
Let me say that hypothetically, the person we're talking about could have in the past believed that simply by faith in Jesus, they were secure forever.
Yeah.
And now they've become confused, and now they think they have to believe and ask for forgiveness. So in that case, the person would be born again, but they wouldn't currently be believing the saving message. On the other hand, if this person has never believed in the free gift of eternal life and they believe it's two steps to be born again, I need to believe in Jesus and I need to ask him to forgive me of my sins. Even if they don't understand that as a work, yeah, they clearly don't believe it's enough to just believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
So if you said, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. Is that true? And they would say, well, no, because you've also got to ask for forgiveness.
Right.
By their own admission, they don't believe John 3:16 is true. Hmm. Or they're going to redefine John 3:16 and say, well, if you truly believe, you're going to ask for forgiveness. So my answer would be no, whatever you ask in there. If you said you have to believe in Jesus and you have to turn from your sins, you need to believe in Jesus and you need to be sorry for your sins. You need to believe in Jesus and you need to want a new life. You need to believe in Jesus and make a decision to be a person who will do whatever God calls you to do in the future. Any of those things is not simply believing in Jesus.
Right. What if someone thinks that, hey, if I'm forgiven forever and I'm going to be with God forever because I'm totally forgiven.
Then that would be fine as long as they don't think they have to ask for it. In other words,
right,
let's say someone was told, if you believe in Jesus, then all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven, and that means your destiny is secure forever. And they believe that, but they never heard the word everlasting life.
Right.
Well, okay, they're believing the concept. Or let's say they're told, if you believe in Jesus, all your sins are forgiven, and you're guaranteed you're going to heaven no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, actually, heaven is not where our final destiny is. It's
right,
the new earth. But leaving that aside, they got the concept.
Right.
As long as they have the concept. But it's not by believing and asking. It's simply by believing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that answers Donna's question, maybe.
And by the way, related to your question, sadly, there are a whole lot of people that think that by believing in Jesus, he has forgiven my sins. But I have to now follow him the rest of my life in order to make it to heaven. I need to follow him the rest of my life to get the forgiveness of my future sins.
Right.
Or even if they believe my future sins are forgiven, they believe that that's contingent mm-hmm. on me continuing to be faithful. So what you find, it's interesting, in the Gospel of John, Jesus repeatedly says, the one who believes in me has everlasting life. He never once says, he who believes in me has the forgiveness of sins.
Right.
And in fact, the forgiveness of sins doesn't come up anywhere in Jesus' evangelistic ministry, and it's only found twice in John's gospel. In John 13, when he washes their feet, and even there it's not crystal clear that this is 1 John 1:9, but it basically is. And secondly, in John 21, after his resurrection, he says, I'm giving you the authority to forgive sins.
Right.
That seems to be a church discipline context, but it could be saying when a person believes, then they receive positional forgiveness. But in any case, it's never telling a person, if you believe, you're forgiven. And I think we make a mistake when we emphasize the forgiveness of sins instead of everlasting life.
Right. That's kind of like an evangelical tradition. Somehow
it is.
The forgiveness of sins has become really prominent, although that's not really prominent in how Jesus... I mean, there is forgiveness, but that's not how eternal salvation is described. That's not the major term.
Right.
All right, here's a question from Jeff. I guess you had made a post about the atonement, Bob.
Yes.
And if you want to sign up for our blog, go to our website, faithloan.org, and you can sign up for our blog there. It comes out every day, Monday to Friday. And you will be challenged by it, and sometimes you'll be riled up by it, and you'll want to send us questions to radio@faithloan.org. Jeff asks, your position on Christ's death for unbelieving, lost sinners is sufficient but not efficient, is not clarifying anything other than confirming that you're not a five-point tulipper, which means a five-point
yeah.
Calvinist. I get your point about the efficient part for those who believe on Christ for everlasting life, but the unbelieving sinner in hell can say Christ's sufficient payment for my sins did what exactly for me? And does that sufficient payment for his sins do anything for me right now while I'm burning in hell? I guess the question is, the person, and there is no such thing as hell. There's a place called Hades, and there's going to be a place called the Lake of Fire.
Right.
The person in the Lake of Fire, what can they say that Christ's death did for them?
Okay. What they can say is, if they come to believe it, which I think they will, is that he made me savable.
Right.
He removes the sin barrier so that no longer did my sins keep me from spending eternity with him in the kingdom. But the death of Christ didn't save anybody. What it did, it made everybody savable. And I'm not looking at the blog he's referring to, but I don't think I talked about sufficient and efficient. That is the language of five-point Calvinism. I believe I was arguing against that. I think what I was saying is not only is the death of Christ sufficient for everyone in the world, it's effective for
yes.
everyone
yes.
in the sense
yes.
that it removes the sin barrier.
Yes.
Now, I think where you're going is, but there's a whole lot of other things that are only true for the believer and some more that are only true of the believer walking in the light.
Right.
And I agree with all that.
Right, right.
But as far as making us savable, that's effective for everyone.
Basically, the person in hell can say, I didn't go here because I still had a sin problem.
Right. No one can say, I went to hell because Jesus' death didn't count for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it potentially did, but in reality, since I wasn't one of the elect, I was going here no matter what. The truth is, there is no elect in terms of that. Read your book, Chosen to Serve. And we've written a bunch of articles at faithalone.org on that. There is no election to eternal life.
Yeah.
Election is to service.
Yeah.
And so God never decided that so-and-so was going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God wills all to be saved.
Yeah.
God wants everyone to be saved. No one will be able to say in the lake of fire, I'm here because God predestined me to this. I'm
yeah.
here because God chose me for this.
Right.
No, I'm here because I rejected the free gift of eternal life. Jesus died on the cross and took away sins as a barrier, and I have no excuse.
Yeah. You take a different position on the atonement than most evangelicals. Most evangelicals, they think Jesus' death was good enough for everybody, but it only gets applied to you if you meet certain conditions. And so it's sufficient for all, but it's only efficient for the people who meet the conditions. But you would say, in terms of taking away the sin barrier, Jesus' death is sufficient for all, but it's also efficient for all because the benefit actually applies to everybody, the whole world.
Exactly. When I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, I was basically taught to tell people that they're a sinner and that they're separated from God.
Right.
But that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, and that potentially by his death on the cross, he has now bridged the gap between God and man.
Right.
And if they will believe that he died on the cross for their sins and turn to him in faith, it got a little confusing at that point, but say turn to him in faith, then he would save them forever. We made the efficient part once you believe he died for you.
Yes.
But what I would say now, and what I think is more accurate, is this. You and I are sinners, but our sins don't separate us from God. And you know why they don't separate us from God? because Jesus paid it all at Calvary. He right. died on the cross for all our sins.
Right.
And John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
Yeah.
So did you know that no matter how many sins you have committed or will commit, that doesn't keep you from being born again. That doesn't keep you from having everlasting life. The problem is you and I, unless we come to faith in Christ, are spiritually dead. But once we believe in him, well, then he gives us everlasting life and we'll never perish. We're secure forever. And so the good news is, because of the cross, all we need to do is believe in Jesus. We don't need to deal with our own sin problem.
The sin problem and the life problem are two different problems.
Exactly.
And the whole world has their sin problem taken care of, including the people who will be in the lake of fire. Their sin problem
right.
was taken care of. But the life problem is only taken care of for people who believe in Jesus for eternal life.
Right. And that's the key, what you just said. It's not believing that Jesus died for my sins, because...
Right.
You can believe that and believe in work salvation.
Right.
It's for the person who believes in Jesus for everlasting life, for his salvation that is once and for all, once mm-hmm. saved, always saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I believe that by faith in Jesus I am secure, well, at that point I have everlasting life. It's confusing to tell people that Christ's death is sufficient for you, but it's only effective if you believe in substitutionary atonement.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's effective whether you believe in substitutionary atonement or not.
Right.
Now, for most people, unless you believe in substitutionary atonement, you're never going to believe in him for everlasting life. Because to explain substitutionary atonement is to say he made us savable.
Right.
So that's something that we explain when we share our faith. But don't explain it like you're a sinner and you're separated from God, and unless you believe in substitutionary atonement, his death doesn't count for you. Instead, tell people his death counts for you whether you believe it or not.
Right.
But what you need to do is get the life that he offers.
Right. And so the person in Hades or the lake of fire, they'll be able to say, "No, Jesus did die for me. He did take away my sin. He did take away my sin problem. But I'm here because I lacked life. I never believed in Jesus for eternal life. Lacking eternal life, this was the only other option, to be in the lake of fire forever."
Yep.
And that's a very sad picture, but it's not quite the picture that Jeff was drawing. Well, thank you very much for listening. If you have any more questions for us, send them to radio@faithalone.org, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the differences between free grace and lordship salvation. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.